We're talking about timelines for the end time victory, okay? And if you got your outline, I want you to read the very first part, which is Matthew 24, verses 36 and 37. But that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah, so will also be coming the Son of Man. Okay? So we really don't know when Jesus is coming. We got pretty good ideas. We really don't know the exact hour. However, if you look back through the Bible, there are other end times that were there. First was obviously the days of Noah. That was end times for the world except for Noah, right? Okay? And if you notice that at the end times, there's also a big wealth transfer. Because when the flood resided, Noah controlled everything. He owned the whole world at that point. So although he was upset at Adam and Eve for biting the apple, Noah didn't do a very good job with his sons, or he wouldn't be in the position we are today. Amen? Okay? But the other end time that's very familiar with is the story of Joseph. And that's more similar to what I think we're going to be getting into when things come, as times get really, really tough. Okay? So. Now, with all due respect, you notice nobody's being quiet? Okay? And there's a reason for that. And that's why this was done exactly this way. Is because the devil's made the world so noisy that people have a challenge with quiet. And when you have a challenge with quiet, you cannot hear the small, still voice of the Lord. And that's something we're really going to need to do when times get tough. Okay? So, I want you to imagine on a timeline that this is your life from birth till Jesus comes or somebody passes away and goes to heaven. Okay? This, if you take this and you wrap it around the universe 800 gazillion times, you're at one small percentage of 1% of eternity. Eternity is a long, long time. And you have this much to prepare for that. Okay? Eternity is infinity. It's everlasting, it's foreverness. Okay? Now the best thing you've got going for you is ABC. ABC is the best preparation for what is coming that anybody here knows of, bar none. I don't know anybody else even close. Now, we were on a retreat last week up in beautiful mountains up in San Bernardino called Forest Home. And 2 o'clock in the morning on the first night, I hear this swam. And it sounds to me like a semi-truck is hitting another semi-truck. I go, what is going on? And my wife, who's always prepared for everything, had brought a flashlight. So I get the flashlight out, and I'm shining the flashlight outside my window. And I hear wham! And there is a bear pushing the dumpster into a boulder, trying to open it up. The bear sees my light. Now, I've been around the restroom for 14 years. The dumpster's about 4.5 foot tall. He stood on that thing where it cut him in half, and looked at me and says, what are you going to do about it? This bear had to be at least 9 foot tall. He had to be around 2,000 pounds. Now, I've seen 1,200-pound boars in my day, and this thing made them look small. He was big, okay? Taking the teachings of ABC, I said, in the name of Jesus, leave. And it did. Now, if you'd have told me 5 years ago I'd been talking to a 2,000-pound bear, I'd have laughed at you. But I'm here to tell you, that bear left. It's tried to come back. It says, go away in the name of Jesus, and he came. Okay? The teachings here work. No question about it. But I want to talk about the days of Joseph comparing to what's coming up. Okay? We all know that Joseph was a kid. And he just wanted to be one of the brothers. He didn't know that he was special. He just got gifts from dad. Okay? See, why are they so mad at me? It's not my fault that Grandpa cheated Dad with their mom. I had nothing to do with it. It's not my fault that Dad gave me this beautiful coat. I just got it. He just wants to be one of the brothers. But instead they turn on him. And they put him in the well and they sell him into slavery. Okay? And now we're going to pick up where Potiphar is his master. Okay? And by the way, just like Joseph, many Christians today are clueless of what the real challenges are around them. He never thought his brothers were going to do that. Many Christians don't believe what is going to happen to them because they're in a state of denial. Okay? So he gets to Potiphar's place. And he decides as long as he's going to be there, he may as well do the best that he can. And at Potiphar's house, he starts performing. And it says in Genesis 39:3, when his master, being Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, being Joseph, and the Lord gave Joseph success in everything he did, Joseph found favor. So what does that mean to us? Many of us are working for people. And we're in positions, or maybe we're even retired. But the bottom line is, if we go out every day and act accordingly, we will find favor with everybody around us. And in the end times, that's going to be a big thing. But you're going to get blessed in the meantime, as Joseph was. So in Potiphar's house, as we know, he raises the cess where he has control of everything in the house, and Potiphar didn't worry about anything. Okay? All right. Now, Satan doesn't like it when God's people succeed, right? So Satan wants to throw a challenge into this system. So he sends along Potiphar's wife. Now, Satan knows how to tempt everybody. He knows what your weak points are. Joseph's a young man at this point. He's never been with a woman. Now, how many believe that Potiphar's wife was a hun? A hun. As in a honey. As in a really good-looking woman. Okay. You know? I imagine that this wife was Potiphar's trophy wife. Okay? And I have a cousin. He was a banker. He is a banker, but he was down in Beverly Hills, and I was visiting one time. I noticed all these older guys, all these younger huns, okay? And he looks over and says, Jim, he says, rich men don't marry ugly women. And he's right. So Potiphar's wife probably was really stunning, really attractive, and the right kind of bait for somebody like Joseph, okay? Joseph, being the honored man that he was, resisted that. Now, sometimes when you resist things, it may give you a temporary setback. I worked for a company that wanted me to sell bad stocks to people. I couldn't do that. I told them I wouldn't do that. And they told me I couldn't work there. And I said, with pleasure. Because I sleep really good at night. Okay? I don't worry about somebody being the wrong kind of investment. Because I haven't put them there. And that's what I was about. So I had a temporary setback. I had to go find another firm. In fact, I went through 4 firms to find the one I'm at now, which will let me do what I think is right for clients. But the bottom line is, I had to be willing to walk away from salary, insurance benefits, and so forth, because I wasn't going to compromise what was right for my clients. Joseph was willing to walk away with whatever happened to him because he wasn't going to compromise his positions. Amen? We as Christians must stand that. People must see our example. They can't see us compromising in. I once had a boss tell me, James, little white lies are okay. No, they're not. Okay? Little white lies mislead and turn into big white lies. And that's a bad thing. Okay? Okay. So Joseph resists temptation. And he goes to prison. Now, many people think prison was a bad thing. Joseph says, well, I'm here. I may as well do the best I can again. And what does he do? He starts performing. He and they like him. And he becomes head of the whole prison, to where the warden didn't even worry about him. In fact, it says in Genesis 39:21, the Lord was with Joseph and granted him favor in the eyes of the warden. 22. So Joseph was put in charge of the prison. 23. Because the Lord was with Joseph, he gave him success in whatever he did. All right? Joseph had favor with God. Joseph had the warden give him control of the prison. Now, if you're in Joseph's position, and you're as intelligent as Joseph, and you had control of the prison, do you think you could escape? Why not? Why didn't he escape? I believe because God was with him there, and he wanted to be wherever God was with him at. And if God didn't tell him to go, he wasn't moving out of that prison. He was a faithful follower of God, whatever God told him to do. Okay? So Joseph was a faithful follower of God. Now, it's very interesting that Joseph showed no bitterness or anger over his situation. He showed no resentment to anybody, even to his brothers. And the day came where Pharaoh has a dream. And this dream is a dream that scares Pharaoh. And Pharaoh finds out that there is a guy in his prisons that can help him. Now, God is the ultimate networker. Okay? He can put a guy in prison and get to Pharaoh at the same time. Is that amazing? Okay? Forget social media, man. God is the answer, okay? All right. So Joseph gets pulled up in front of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, "Can you interpret my dream?" Joseph's response is, "God will give Pharaoh the answers." He doesn't take credit for it. He gives God credit at all times. Okay? Whatever happens, we give God credit for everything, every blessing. Okay? Once again, Joseph is put in charge. Now, first was in charge of a house, then he was in charge of a prison, now he's in charge of the entire nation. That's catapulting. That's huge. Okay? At this point, his brothers come. At this point, he must make a decision. He now has the power to extract extreme vengeance on his brothers. He has the power to whip them, beat them, kill them, throw them in prison, torture them any way, shape, or form he wants to. Instead, he uses Proverbs 25, 21 to 22. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Thirsty, give him drink, and the Lord will reward you. He takes no animal. He played with his brothers a little bit. He had a little fun with them. He sent them out and brought them back with the silver and the so forth and arrested them, accused them, but he played a little bit. But then the bottom line is, he says, hey, this is all about forgiveness. I forgive you. And we must walk in forgiveness also. Now, going back to the very beginning, where Joseph is telling his brothers about his dream, and they get real angry about that, do you think it was because that was the first time he had had a dream? Or maybe he had a history of successes, and they were really scared that that dream was going to come to pass? It doesn't say so, and this is my theory. I think he had that gifting all along, and that's what really bothered the brothers. Okay, fast forward now. They're back. And he forgives them. And he goes about pulling all the grain in for 7 years. Or he'd already done that. Now it's in the later. But I also want you to think that if somebody in the first 7 years had noticed, you know, Pharaoh's saving 20% of the grain. He's never done this before. I wonder why. And now this is bountiful years. This isn't ordinary years. This is bountiful years. If that person said, you know, I'm going to do the same thing, I'm going to save 20% of my grain for the future, that person would not have been sold into slavery. He would have had enough to sustain himself and his family. Okay? I'm going to get back to a point in that in just a minute. Okay? So Joseph is catapulted and he saves the world because God told him how to do it. Now, Pastor Karen and I, several years ago, were watching a History Channel, and there's a record of one Pharaoh that believed in one God. Now, it makes sense to me that the guy who saw the Savior of his nation through the one God would be the one Pharaoh who would worship one God. Okay? To me, that means even that Pharaoh is probably saved today. That's an amazing thing for a small shepherd boy from a family. But God can do anything. God can do anything. Okay? We're coming up on hard times. Very, very difficult times are coming. And we got to be ready for it. And we need to be as ready as Joseph was back then. That no matter what happens, we turn to God for our answer. And with the training of ABC, we will be. Now, there's one more point about this rope to infinity that we need to consider. This is birth till now. This is birth until a second ago. It's gone. Throw it away. Get rid of it. Whatever challenge you've had in the past, whoever's offended you, who's ever caused you any issues, whatever anger you have, it's in the past. Joseph couldn't look back to his brothers. He couldn't look back and say, well, if I had treated my brothers differently, maybe they would have taken better care of me. Maybe I wouldn't have flaunted my coat. Maybe they would have not thrown me in that well. He didn't. It's done. Forget about any changes you could have made, any mistakes that were in the past, any issues, any wrongdoings done to you. Forget about them. They're gone. Put your eyes forward. You know, it says in Philippians 3:13, this is Paul, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. 14, I pass on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me. You can't take the past and tape it back on. You can't change the past. You can't think about the past. Okay? We're all mistake makers. Forgive ourselves. Forgive anybody who's offended us. Okay? Now, you'll see my steps of conclusion on here. Okay? The first one is be quiet. Take time every day to hear God's still small voice. Get away from some of the noises out there. You know, I watched my niece one time. We're trying to play a game. And the whole time we're playing, she had one of those things with the earphones stuck into it. You know, we used to call them a radio in my day. You know, she could hear anything I was saying. The whole time we're playing the game. And I love her. Don't misunderstand me. But I find that very discerning. I wonder if God feels the same way. You can't hear what I'm saying with all that noise going on. Turn the TV off for a few minutes. Sit in quiet. You know, the beautiful part about being up in San Bernardino was there was no TV, no radio. I could go outside, just sit there and just listen, hear the quiet. It was so peaceful and serene. You know, it was so easy to hear God and think, okay, I need to correct that part of my life. But we need that on a regular basis and not get so busy with the world, okay? The second step is to walk in total forgiveness. Joseph forgave his brothers totally. Jesus forgave from the cross everyone. We must do the same. Three, forget all mistakes you've made and wrongs done to you from the past. They're gone. Let them go. Four, find out what God wants you to do. He'll tell you. Everybody here on the earth, he still wants them to do something. And he will tell you what to do. And I know some of us here are more seniors or retired. It doesn't matter. God has something for you to do. You don't know the next person you meet that you bless. Maybe the next Billy Graham. You don't know what can come out of what your actions are when you're doing what God tells you to do. You plant a seed, God does the watering, the rest goes on. Your job is to act like a Christian 24/7. You know, when I first married Karen, she said, "I'm going to be a Christian." I said, "Uh-uh." Because the Christians I knew, I wanted nothing to do with. Okay? They didn't act very Christian. They weren't very honorable. And these were some of the ministers. Okay? But when we act right, when we do things God's way, tremendous things can happen. And I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're a janitor somewhere sweeping something out. You know, there was a time between jobs and I'd worked the night shifts at the grocery stores. Okay? Paid the bills. All right? One day I'm walking down the aisle doing some work and lady's in pain. I says, "Can I take a minute and pray for you?" And she was healed instantly. You know, 3:30 in the morning, there's a lady needing help. I happen to be there. Praise the Lord. Okay? Great. Now, whatever you do, do to the best of your abilities. Give it 100%. I'm challenged with the United States today because I see some people just giving half-baked efforts at whatever they do. It's ridiculous. This used to be made in the United States. It used to mean something today. Okay? Expect challenges. Satan is going to throw challenges at you. Handle them. You know when they're coming. You know what you're not supposed to do. And Satan will throw the challenge at you the way he knows he can get to you. You know? For example, he's not going to try to tempt me with cabbage. It's not going to work. Okay? It ain't going to be there. Fine, Satan, I don't need that. Go, you know? But that poor person that's been turned down by a spouse or something and is in turmoil, he says, "Hey, here's a little cocaine to take the pain off of." He knows what to do. He's been very good at tricking people ever since the days of Adam and Eve. He knows how to get at what they want. Oh, well, you can be just like God. Okay? Be careful. Keep your eyes open. Be vigilant at all times. And you can never, ever let your guard down. Okay? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I also believe that everything you put your hands to, God will prosper. Everything. I mean, Uncle Josh has got a mango tree going out here in the middle of the backyard. It's unheard of in this area. But he's prospered because he put his hands to it. Okay? And then be ready for the end times. Because continually being a doer here of God's word will help you stay on timeline for end time victory. And that's what we all want, is victory in these end times. Thank you very much.